I'm Raj Schneider, VP of Operations with Migration.mobi.
So tell us about Migration.mobi. Can you give us the background of the company?
Overall, we're an application development company. We had this idea to look at every platform, and we saw a need for migrating current iPhone apps to all the various platforms that are out there. As you know, there's a different operating system for each phone. Apps don't cross over very well. The UX is affected, and it's not the exact same experience. So we took this opportunity to hone our Silverlight skills and our XNA skills, and we jumped on the Windows Phone 7 platform.
So you do other platforms besides Windows Phone 7?
We do have Android capabilities, but most of our efforts lately have been focusing on Windows Phone 7.
Is there a reason you guys selected Phone 7? I mean, it sounds like you're putting a lot of effort behind that platform.
We are putting a lot of effort in this platform. We trust this platform. We think it's a reliable platform. We think it's definitely going to be one of the top sellers in the market.
So you guys are early adopters, you say. How many applications estimate of did you have in the marketplace at launch? Did you have any at launch?
We did have a few at launch. I would say probably close to, I don't even know how many we had at launch. 15,
over 15?
20.
Wow, that's a lot actually.
But from there, we have approximately 400 developed at this time, most of which are going through the marketplace submission process. So hopefully in the next couple months, we will flood the market with
400.
More apps.
Wow, okay, that's quite a few. name some of your top titles that you guys have built.
One of the apps that we did migrate was Zagat, also known as Zagat, but I believe the proper way to say that is Zagat. It's one of the restaurant guides. You see the little red signs in all of the restaurants if it's been Zagat rated. So that was an interesting experience taking that from the iPhone to Windows Phone 7 platform. It was showcased by Microsoft. Definitely got a lot of recognition, which is great. It's probably one of the bigger titles. It included a lot of features, which was great to work on early on. However, from there, we've focused on a news engine for DoApp that produced just over 300 applications. That includes features from GPS, mapping, traffic, video, satellite, everything is included in that. So we've definitely touched on quite a few capabilities and have produced some pretty complex apps.
So even the 400 apps you say you generated, a lot of those came from DoApps because the engine, but you're still talking about nearly under 100 applications.
Yeah.
That you've done. That's quite a few apps. What do you do when you go about looking at an application interface on an iPhone?
Mm-hmm.
What's your decision tree look like? Can you step me through a typical application?
Yeah. So where it starts is an ISV could approach us and say, I want my iPhone app on the Windows Phone 7 platform. What we'll do is we'll actually download the app and we'll take a look at it. We'll play around with it. We'll get to know all of the features, every direction it's going, and we'll put this into a tier. We'll go back to the ISV and say it's either tier 1, tier 2, or tier 3 based on a pricing structure that we have. And then the ISV will transfer source code. The source code is valuable when it comes down to actual development, but there's no better way to get to know the app than just playing with it.
Right.
So what I do is I literally spend up to hours going through the app, making different decisions, mapping them all out. I have process trees that I follow. I basically put together a current iPhone app flow. I will run over that with the ISV to make sure that I'm not missing any features.
What tools are you using for all the app flow?
Visio.
Visio, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I use Visio and I live in PowerPoint.
Oh, you do?
A lot of PowerPoint presentations it shows a nice even flow from this is where we stand now, this is where we're going to be going. Gives them a nice visual representation without having to put together full comps.
So you're doing full-on metro mappings in, mm-hmm. in PowerPoint? Wow,
yeah.
Okay. So what does it typically look like? Do you wireframe out mm-hmm. the iPhone screen and then you wireframe out the Phone 7 screen?
Yep, I will put together the iPhone app flow, usually in Visio, just because it gives me a nice flow to look at, as well as if I do have to end up passing this to my creative team, it gives them one sheet to look at. When we start to get into the Windows Phone 7 metro mapping, I definitely use PowerPoint for that. Like I said, a lot of ISVs are not 100% comfortable with the metro interface quite yet. They've heard about it, they've done some initial research, but they don't know quite how things translate. So it really helps to show them a picture.
In the case where they're providing you creative, you have to show them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I imagine there's a lot of going back and forth.
There is. And it depends on how much we are owning in-house. There's not as much back and forth if we're doing the UX and the UI as well as the creative comps and everything. So it all depends on what the agreement is. But if the ISV is providing their own creative, absolutely, there's a lot of back and forth, probably two or three different meetings just to make sure that we have the metro mapping set in stone before we start providing comps.
So give me an example. I mean, give me an example of where metro, you looked at the interface and it was like, okay, this is obviously a blank control.
Yeah.
And or give me an example where you had no idea what that control would look like in Metro. Can you walk through that for us a little bit?
Yeah, so one of the main features in iPhone that you look for are the on-screen buttons. They're never in one central location. They're kind of spread out throughout the app. Back buttons especially. You now know that that is always going to be the hardware back button on the phone, so you can get rid of that button completely. Different tab controls, they have on-screen icons that usually get you from one page to the next, depending upon, that's mostly like category pages. Those now turn into a panorama view or a pivot view, depending upon what kind of content it is. I usually use the general rule that a pano contains an overview of the content that you will eventually see. You don't really want to load the panos with a lot of content. It's just a preview for the user. You then get into the pivot view, and sometimes you can open with the pivot view. Sometimes you go from pano to pivot, it all depends. But the pivot view usually contains all of the actual content. So yeah, definitely, general rule, start with the pano, go into the pivot, depending upon the content. There are also times when neither a pano or a pivot actually works for either any of the apps.
So for Zagat, walk me through the UX mappings for Zagat. Why did you decide on what you did for Zagat? I understand that Zagat looks actually considerably different than the iPhone application. It's
very
gotten good reviews, especially from a user experience perspective.
Yeah. Zagat was an interesting experience. The iPhone app does look considerably different than the Windows Phone 7 app. The iPhone app used a lot of tab controls, and it referred to a lot of separate pages to contain information. So it almost created more steps for you to get to exactly what you wanted to get to. So transforming that into the Metro style was quite a challenge because we wanted to make sure that we accomplished everything we were trying to get to, but cut back a lot of those steps to make it a lot easier for the user and a lot quicker. It was inevitable that we would use some sort of a pano or a pivot control. It was just trying to figure out what categories went with what. We actually ended up combining categories to create almost a brand new category because it just made sense.
Right.
So in Zagat, we open in a pano. We do have some on-screen buttons within that pano, but that doesn't necessarily go against Metro rules because it's still clean, crisp, not overcrowding. Also, you can't put an app bar in a pano view anyway, so we do have some on-screen buttons. Going from a pano, it does go into a pivot depending upon the category that
so
you
select. So
the app
bar, if you need sub-menus, that's going to play whether you use a pano or pivot.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you do have, the general rule I follow for on-screen buttons in the iPhone apps is that it eventually will attempt to make its way into an app bar. A lot of those buttons we can get rid of, so they don't apply. I would say that in general, if an iPhone has 4 or 5 buttons on screen that eventually take you somewhere else, we can probably cut those down by almost half, just because you don't need the buttons with the horizontal swiping. The hardware back button definitely solves a lot of problems. You don't always have to have that on-screen back button. It ends up being much, much more of a simple experience, and everything is always in one spot that way. It doesn't change throughout the app. I can't tell you how many times I've opened an iPhone app, accidentally hit a button that took me to another screen, and I actually have to exit the app and start all the way
over
back
again.
Through.
Yeah. So tell us about some other applications. What other applications have been a challenge, maybe from a UX mapping perspective? Have there been any of those types of apps?
Zagat was actually one of them, just because we wanted to make sure we weren't missing any existing functionality. It almost seemed like there were too many steps, and we wanted to combine things, so it was definitely a challenge to figure out what makes sense to combine, where we should put everything. So Zagat was definitely one of the bigger UX challenges. I think I had to take a couple walks around the block just to clear my head, because I couldn't get my head around it. It was a lot of content. You basically have a chance to enhance and make this app a completely different experience and completely better. So it's definitely challenging going into any type of UX mapping, because you have that in the back of your head. You know that this is your opportunity to make this app even better than it is on the current platform.
Tell me the life cycle of migrating, and it's really not really migrating, it's more of a net new from what I understand, mm-hmm. right? You're building it from ground up, right? You're not actually using a migration tool and converting the code. It's
right.
You know, there's some framework that you guys put in place, but it's still a net new effort, correct?
Yes. Our original idea with this entire company was to be able to take existing applications and migrate them or port them to other OSs easily. I mean, the whole idea was we could build tools, we could build engines to kind of push them through and hopefully come up with a simpler process to do this. We're finding as we're going along, it's not that easy. If you took an iPhone app and just tried to rewrite it in Silverlight, it's not supposed to look like that. It's going to look like an iPhone app, and you don't want that on the Windows Phone 7 platform. You want it to be unique to that experience. So we are finding that every application is a net new development. Every application is going to involve some sort of creative. Now the extent of that varies. It could involve completely redesigning the current iPhone app into Windows Phone 7. A lot of the larger apps, you have to do that. A lot of the data-heavy apps, you have to do that. Those will require a ton of creative effort, a lot of UX honing and working through that. But for some of the smaller apps, it's more of a direct migration. It translates very easily to Windows Phone 7.
Like the list apps and the browser-based apps.
The list apps, you know that it's going to be a pivot control or just a scrolling list on a page. I mean, those are pretty obvious. So it definitely... It definitely depends on the size of the app and exactly what they're trying to accomplish, but no matter what, even the most simplest apps on iPhone can't just be directly migrated. You have to put some UX thought into them.
So where's your company going? Where do you want your company to go in the future? You continue doing Windows Phone 7?
Absolutely. We see Windows Phone 7 jumping out in the market, but we also see iPhone and Android being there as well. So we definitely want to be able to migrate across all platforms, whether that be going from an iPhone app to Windows Phone 7 or coming from an Android app going to Windows Phone 7. It all depends, but we definitely want to become familiar with all platforms, and we do eventually want to pick up net new development, and I think we can appeal to our clients because we will be able to provide them in one lump sum an app for across all platforms rather than just one platform, waiting a little bit, seeing how it performs, and then attempting to then migrate it to the next platform.
How do you estimate? I mean, how do you bid out your projects? Is it fixed bid, time, materials, both?
It definitely varies. Usually, like I said, if we receive a request to migrate an iPhone app to Windows Phone 7, we'll play with the app. We'll download it on our iPhone. We'll
Look at the source, as you say?
It all depends. A lot of times ISVs don't want to give us the source right away until they get a quote. It's hard for us to quote unless we actually see the source code.
Yeah.
So we've actually broken it down into tiers. 1 through 3, we have different pricing models for each, but we can generally look at an application on the iPhone and say, this is going to be in tier 1, meaning lower cost, middle cost, higher cost. We usually provide a range, but unfortunately, we won't be able to provide a direct quote until we actually see the source code and figure out exactly what's going on.
So you can provide an estimate quote, but to hone that quote, you then at some point again need a...
Yeah, we usually provide the ISV with this is the lowest it'll cost, this is about the highest it'll cost, it'll probably fall somewhere in between, or it'll probably be more toward this end. Usually from that, the ISV knows if they want to actually continue or not.
Right.
So at that point, then they'll transfer source code and we'll give them an exact quote.
So you and your team then look at that and does the full analysis. Walks through the
code. We do task breakdown, everything. We use TFS, put everything into TFS and provide actual time estimates for all of that, from which then I'll take those time estimates and actually provide a schedule to the ISV. Creative wireframing, development, and QA, and work that all in so we can work off of that dev schedule.
So that's music to my ears. You use TFS. So are you using all TFS and AL work items and everything for
yep.
bug tracking?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We track all of our QA items in TFS, and it's a pretty easy system. So.
Yeah. Great. Anything other comments you have about DoApps or Zagat or any other big application you want to comment on? What about any games besides the Avalanx games that you've worked on?
Yes, we are working on some X&A games for
yeah.
CoreSoft.
Yeah.
Blitz Football and Ace Hunter are currently going through marketplace submission right now. It's been pretty much a easy experience. CoreSoft has been great to work with. They've provided a lot of QA, which is fantastic. But going from gaming is a totally different scenario. There's no UX involved. It literally is us looking at the code and just rebuilding the game in Silverlight or
right.
X&A. So
a more isolated effort, seems like. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you obviously familiar with the Xbox Live greenlighting process?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any games that are looking to be greenlit that you've worked on?
Yes, some of CoreSoft's games are they're being looked at. Hopefully, Ace Hunter gets approved. The other ones are Avalanx games, and where that ends up going, I'm not sure, but that would be pretty cool to have some Silverlight games for Xbox. So
okay.
We'll see where that goes.